Spark a conversation, verbal elation, stimulation, education. This is Minaj with the Mary Jane Maven. When we on the air, it's always a lituation. Might talk about some litigation, might talk about some immigration, might talk about some politics, but never talking nonsense. Yes, we on in this live. Watch and listen, it's a vibe. Watch it while you getting high, or you can listen while you drive. Just don't forget to subscribe.
Roll up. Trying to get high.
Welcome to Minaj with the Mary Jane Maven podcast with your host, the Mary Jane Maven. I am the producer, the hubby. Follow us on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Show us some love and click that subscribe button now. Don't forget to click the bell so you get notifications and click the like button on the videos.
And now, your host.
Yeah, you know, I did want to ask. Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Like I said, I discussed this on the last episode, one of the last episodes where one of the men were like, because June is also not only Pride Month, but Men's Health Month, but we mentioned saying this, that Pride Month and overleaped Men's Health Month. So it's like call me a conspiracy theorist, but it's all part of an agenda.
They couldn't eradicate us another way. You know, they've tried. You know, oh, damn it. They're becoming educated. Shit. They have access to the truth now. Oh, damn it. They're becoming entrepreneurs. Oh, this weed thing. Oh, we tried to limit them, but now that's even, you know, helping to make them relevant. Oh, God. Wait, they're staying in their homes. They're having relevant, wives of white picket fence house and 2.5 children. Like, they're becoming more of the American dream. Damn it. So how else can we do this? And I do think the indoctrination of that message overall. And I will say this, and I'm okay with saying this. My 14, who almost 15 years old, his sex ed for his freshman year, which just ended, included nothing but pronouns and identity and that aspect, which I'm not saying is not a portion of what should be involved in today's sex education. However, where was the sex education? There was not one time when I said, ask her and tell her that your mama said this. What happens when you or somebody else has sex and has, you know, either catches a disease or makes a baby? Where does your pronouns and how you identify come into that?
Ooh.
I'll wait.
Hello.
I mean, honestly, good that my boys have parents that speak to them so unapologetically. See, I'm getting excited. Honest with them that they can lack and not do their job. And I feel comfortable that I'll pick up the pieces. However, there's so many of his fellow classmates that do not have that. And we're going to cause an epidemic again. That's something like, I think, teen pregnancy, teen disease, sexual transmitted diseases, much like the late 80s, probably early 90s, if we don't focus where the sexual education should really be. We're going to cause that again. So I wholeheartedly agree with you. And that gentleman who said that, great point. And it also fits to another point that my husband was making. Father's Day doesn't even need to be a holiday. Nobody gives a shit about dads on Father's Day. Like, we were talking about the gifts that are offered. You know, we're talking about the advertisement. We were talking about the fact that, hey, you can't get through May without hearing that it's Mother's Day. You know what I'm saying? Even if it is for the first couple of weeks of May. But you get to June, and June has to be celebrated. One, Men's Health Month. It used to be prostate cancer was a huge conversation that was being had in June.
Yeah, and also another conversation that was being had in June, didn't mean to cut you off. Another conversation we were having in June was celebrating Black Music Month, but you rarely see that because it's just dominated by Pride Month. But I don't think we should get rid of fathers. I think fathers still should deserve their flowers, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. No.
Probably definitely. Just move it to another month though.
so that you guys can get your time. I mean, because like my husband said, he said, let's compare, you know, the gifts that are offered. You know, Kay comes out with a new diamond. You know, every kiss begins with K. Go get your wife a $5,000 diamond, you know? And then it was so funny because I'm telling you, this is how you know your phones listen to you and shit. We were having this conversation, and right as we were having it, I get a notification for Amazon. The top 20 Father's Day gifts under $20. And he was like, open that right now. Like, you, this is about to prove my point. And it was shit that no dad wants. No, first of all, why are we putting a limit of under $20 on that? That Kiss with K commercial did not put a limit on that. They weren't like, here's the sales, you know, cabinet or whatever. But it was stuff that my husband was like, I don't want that. Don't get that for me. Like, I use soap every day. Why does it have to be a special bar of soap for Father's Day?
One was tweezers. Like, that's for anybody. It's not for guys. What are we doing?
Tweezers, yeah. Like, at-home fishing rod, like a fishing rod game. Like, it wasn't really fishing rod. Like, it wasn't really fishing, but it was like a little game that you would get a second grader, or maybe even a two-year-old, not even a second grader. It didn't even have good stuff, like good Dior cologne, or, you know, something like that, or a nice suit, or just something that really shows your appreciation. It was really a bunch of junk. I mean, we went to the Dollar Tree a few days later, and my husband's like, let's see how much of that same shit that was on that list somebody could put together from the Dollar Tree. And literally, I could put together a basket of some of that stuff on there, and it was like $7.50, you know, for a multitude of things. But still, that's not fathers, and especially Black fathers, all fathers, you and your children's life, kids are assholes. Kids are not the best thing ever. I mean, they are. Ugh, okay, get on your nerves. They want to eat. They grow, and you know, money has to go to them. It's a whole thing. And I mean that tongue in cheek, guys. But especially Black fathers, your job is so much harder than your peer, you know, a white man who's a father, or anybody else, any other race that's not a person of color. Their job is so much harder. Not only do you have to prepare to keep yourself safe throughout the day, but you have to teach these young men how to do it as children, as adolescents, and then prepare them for the world. You know, you have stigmas. You have it much harder as far as building a career. Definitely Father's Day is something that should be, it should be a much more important holiday. It should be heralded. And we need to be honest that, yes, without mothers, children wouldn't be here. But we can't really make babies by ourselves. So let's give the credit where credit's deserved. But I'm happy that you mentioned that June is Black History or Black Music Month, because if it wasn't for NPR, I will admit, I would not have known myself that June, or wouldn't have realized that June was Black Music Month, or Black History Music Month is what they refer to it as. So it started off with Charlie Wilson, who my 15-year-old loves. That's probably the only view that they got from my house, was my son watching Charlie Wilson. Babyface, which he was great. I mean, 27 minutes, and I swear this man did 150 songs. It was just hit after hit after hit. Songs that he wrote, songs that he sang, songs that he produced for others. It was fire. His background singers, backup singers, Shantae Moore, Tank, and I do apologize. I don't know the other gentleman's name. But Shantae Moore singing like it was, like she started singing yesterday. And I don't know who, there was four of them, so I don't know who the other one was, but I do know that they ended the month on, I mean, they just blew it up. The mic drops, whatever you want to say for doing it. And for, I'm going to say, my husband hates when I say this, but what the kids say, they ate that. What's that they say? They ate? What did they say?
I'm not a kid, so I don't know.
You teach them. What did the kiddos say at school? What did they say?
Stupid shit.
They do stupid shit. You guys get what I'm trying to say. They killed it, okay? So yes, they killed it. They surprised me. the artist himself surprised me, Mr. Juvenile. I think most Black people here, we go from the 99 and the 2000s and they lose their mind, and that's what they think Juvenile is. Juvenile told all y'all to shut up, sit down, and Black people open up your ears and remember the slaps that he had back in the day. Mm-hmm. So we turned it on, saw it first thing in the morning, and 7:30 in the morning, blasting it. I'm sure our children were like, what is wrong with our parents? I mean, blasting it on our TV. We danced the full 30 minutes. And then we've listened to nothing but that CD, the 400 degree CD, or CD, that's not a physical CD, but we've listened to that album on repeat since we first saw that, which was what, Friday, Saturday? I think it was Saturday morning we saw it. Friday. So, hubby will play a little clip what we can. But V, did you happen? I know that we mentioned it a bit. Did you happen to view it all in its entirety? What'd you think about it?
Yes, I watched it. I watched it with my sister. We were cracking up over it, and I'm like, you know, I didn't forget he had slaps, but he had some slaps though. It's like, it's the only thing I think is right. Like NPR could let them go a little bit longer because he definitely had some slaps and stuff. And
yes, he could have gone a little farther.
And with some songs, you knew what time it was. When he brought out them violinists, I said, you already know what time it is.
Right? And it was just so good. What I appreciated about it is that it just showed that it was real music. I think people really, and you know, shout out to this being the 50th year of hip hop. We were talking about that as well. But I think that he really broke barriers where it was like, look, you can break my songs down. And yes, it may sound like it was nothing but an album or, you know, me scratching or whatever. You know, you could think that the music was you know, all electronically made. You could think it was just the, you know, the bass and this and that, or the 805 or the 808 and all that. But it broke it down where it was like, no, this is real music. Here's real, you know, musicians. There's a real drummer. Yes. Here's a real, you know, the dude that had the like shaker. I was like,
yeah.
I couldn't
and also his job was just shout to Manny Fresh because he had a lot of work to do on them songs. I didn't realize it was like, wow, he was putting a lot of work in on them songs and stuff, you know.
Yes.
And also, I don't think anybody respects them. Also, shout out to the sax player on here because he's from Tampa as well. And I also went to school with him at FAM. So, shout out to
Beavis. Nice.
You know what I'm saying? So,
he did his damn thing. He did. Well, shout out to him. If you ever, you know, run past him or get to a new social media, let him know that there is a fan out here in California that thought that he killed that. Because we did point him out. We were like, wait a minute, listen to him. I have to say there he is right there. My favorite is probably, I think it was 400 degrees. I think that was the best. Like as soon as it started, I was like, wait a minute. But listen to that. And for me, the way that I hear music is I break down each instrument. So I was really able to hear, you know, the keyboard. I was really able to hear, you know, the horns. I was able to hear the bass. It was, they did a damn good job.
Yes.
And then, like I said, Manny Fresh, I mean, he killed it. Mm-hmm. He went to his little Casio keyboard, it looked like he had, you know, and his little voice changer, which probably was just a, you know, a prompt there on the keyboard. But is it the 400 degrees right here, babe? The beginning of it? I'm gonna play this.
I think that's definitely the beginning of it right there.
Yeah.
But also shout out to Tiny, the NPR for these concerts though. But the ones we had during the pandemic were some of the best as well. But these definitely hit differently. And there's like a lot of artists I would love to see get those shines, and you know what I'm saying? So shout out to them.
Yeah. I do. I like that. I will say that, especially during the pandemic, like the verses and that definitely brought a different focus. One, on music that I can't stand that they call like our music old school already. I'm like, no, old school is like, you know,
I think old school is like that's old school. I'm like, come on, why is early 2000s old school? I'm like, god damn,
right? And they're like, this is one from them back in the day, and it'll be from 2008. And I'm like, wow, like that's disrespectful, guys. But I do think that Versus did a really good job on focusing and bringing, you know, the attention on, you know, if you guys say that you love music, and you know, the music nowadays is it's very loosely based music. But if you guys want to say that you're music fans, like, you really need to know the true history and the foundation of it. And I think that's what Versus did. And I think that's what NPR does. And I wish that they would do something that focuses more on Black music. I think if they did a monthly, you know, highlight on it, they did it very well. They did it with a lot of class. I think that they focused on the right artists. I mean, like I said, and some of it was very just mind-blowing. I know for me, Juvenile was mind-blowing. I was just like, wait a minute. And he knew his words. And he had it was a good performance. He seemed grateful to be there.
Yes. But shout out to Black Twitter, because Black Twitter told him what it was. I think somebody tweeted, and then he was like, what is the Tiny Desk and stuff? And then he did his research, and then they reached out to him and stuff. So somebody on Black Twitter, like, somebody tweeted it. Shouted out Juvenile, mentioned Juvenile. Yes. We need to have a Tiny Desk with Juvenile. And bam, they made it happen. So shout out to Black people on Twitter.
Hey, and shout out to somebody at NPR for paying attention to Black Twitter.
Yes.
Because we all get tweets that get added at us and we don't care, or we don't read it or whatever. So shout out to them. I remember my dad, it was like punishment for me to ride in the car with my dad and listen to NPR. Straight punishment. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I heard a little bit of it.
Nope. Oh, we got a little bit. Okay. He was trying to get this situation so we can all enjoy the fabulousness of. I'm telling you, I haven't rewatched A Tiny Desk as many times as I have this one. Maybe Usher, because of Nula.
Yeah. No, the one I rewatched a lot was, maybe because I'm a Floridian, the one I watched rewatched a lot was Ross.
Hmm. I didn't even know what Ross did. What? Are you serious?
Yes, Rick Ross has a Tiny Desk.
I'm gonna have to watch that one. I like Rick Ross.
Yes, you gotta watch that one.
Okay, I like Rick Ross. Yeah, I like Rick Ross. I think people, you know, try to, you know, oh, let's get rid of him. So they tried to, you know, sully his name. You know, a couple of his song lyrics were questioned. And I'm just like, over people. Like, it's just, I like Rick Ross. I like that.
Yeah,
he was like,
I like him too. It's like,
this is my land.
And everybody has some questionable song lyrics. Everybody, every artist does.
Yeah. Everybody, you know? And everybody has a questionable, or, you know, like a past that you don't expect someone to have. Like, I don't care that he was a correction officer. I don't care. Everybody has to have a career starting off. At least he wasn't like mooching off other people, hurting other people to get, you know, to take care of himself before he made it big. So I like Rick Ross though. But I also believe in putting positive things out there, you know, for people, you know, because one day he may go, what? This girl said who? Let's go ahead and sponsor her podcast since she liked me and she supports me so much. No, so it's fire like that. I'm gonna have to check that one out. So that's another one that everybody should check it out. If you have not checked out NPR at all, please do. As far as their Tiny Desk, there are some good performances there. And you may actually be introduced to maybe an artist that you never knew about, and you really start to dig their music because you've heard it stripped down. You've heard the kind of story behind it. I think the artists, what they all really show when they come on there is just how much they love their art and how much they love their creativity and love sharing it with an audience. So if you're somebody who's really into music and you kind of get a certain joy out of seeing somebody, you know, just precisely share their creativity, check those out for sure. Check those out. So on to another. Another big event that happened. I think I'm going to jump from something that was so fantastic to something that could use some work. That's probably the BET Hip Hop Awards. I know it's a couple of weeks far gone, but I think it's still a conversation that can be had. Shout out to Tyler Perry. I mean, I think we all saw this coming. Tyler Perry, of course, was going to own BET. I mean, he owned it because his movies and TV shows are shown there on repeat. Whether you want to see it or not. There's Martin. There's a Madea. There's maybe like an old College Hill episode that they throw in there. And then right back to the Tyler Perry. So, you know, I think that hopefully he will. Yes, hopefully he'll come in and step into more of the creative role and make sure that all of the, you know, shows from here on out are at peak level. I think that's how we'll be able to start getting those A-list Black celebrities in attendance. You know, somebody that is really a royalty is not going to come to the equivalent of the Source Awards. I'll be honest, without the fighting and violence. But that is pretty much it. You know, I can't see. To everybody else, or to a large portion of the community, Beyonce is royalty. I don't see Beyonce coming to a BET Hip Hop Awards, a BET Awards, until it's elevated to the level of Beyonce. It's probably the best example. You're not going to get a Denzel, you know, to come through and accept an award to something that he's like, I don't know who the hell Silky Red is. I don't know. Like, you know. To be honest, you know, I can't see Denzel bopping to Lotto, you know, and no shade. Do your thing. They, you know, they are making their ways in the industry. It's a hard industry. Making your way. Great. Music's not horrible. The greatest, but it's there. And I'm just saying that. It's not that you can't have a combination of both, but there needs to be probably, it needs to be like a 60-40, you know. Patti LaBelle, you know, if you want to give a lifetime award to Stephanie Mills, Patti LaBelle, you know, people like that in the industry, then you're going to need to make sure that they know what's going on. Maybe Patti, because Patti seemed like she in the loop a little bit. So maybe Patti will come. And Anita Baker. We just saw what happened with her and Babyface beefing on Twitter, which I just don't ever want to see again. I don't want to see two of our Black, like, greatest, you know, artists, especially somebody that's like such an auntie like Anita Baker, beefing with people on Twitter like that. That was a huge fail for me. I was like, if y'all don't leave Auntie Anita alone, like, do you know how many of y'all walk down aisles as flower boys or you know, ring bearers and flower girls to an Anita Baker song at a wedding? Do you know how many of y'all, it's like, how many times you woke up on a Saturday and your mom was cleaning the house and you got up and had to clean up to an Anita Baker song? Like, so you guys beefing with her over Twitter was just unexplainable to me. But did you happen to watch the Hip Hop Awards?
I watched all the clips. A little bit of it and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? The BET Awards have just fallen off so hard because back in the day, like early 2000s and stuff, BET Awards was lit. Yes. It was the place to be. But I just don't. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out where the disconnect happened and stuff, like where nobody won't show up, you know. So I'm hoping Tyler Perry can restore some order to the BET Awards.
Yeah, for sure. I will say that the best things about it were, well, one, it seemed very disorganized. Okay, and I will say this: let's give them their, you know, their credence or you know, their a little bit of a allowance. Everybody's on strike, so there's no writers. So in order for them to have it, it kind of had to be off the cuff, let's just performance, maybe an award, performance. There was no host. I don't know if people realize that or if they thought that was on purpose, but there couldn't be because there was no writers to write for that host. Mm-hmm. So I will give them that. They did pull off an award show during a time of a strike, and that strike's been going on for a few months now. So I will give them that. However, there's lots of interns. There's lots of, hey, let's put a poll out there and have the community and the viewers maybe be like the producers. There's just ways, you know, to go about it.